am presenting is the result of a community collaborative research conducted in partnership with or between San Diego State University, Vista Community Clinic, and more recently the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Just to provide a little bit of background about the target population, I will start by defining the non-gay identified Latino men who have sex with men. For the purposes of our study, we define these men as any man who identifies as heterosexual, straight, or normal, as it would be on their own words, but has a history of sex with other men, whether a lifetime or recent history. There is a variety of terms that have been used to refer to non-gay identified Latino men who have sex with men, including heterosexually identified men who have sex with men and women. We think this term actually is more accurate because based on our formative research, this is the way these men identify themselves. And it's better to use that term instead of focusing on what they don't identify like. However, for the purposes of this presentation and for consistency with our title and original abstract, we're going to be using the non-gay Latino MSM terminology, or NGI Latino MSM. So who are NGI Latino MSM, and why is it important to target them for HIV prevention? NGI Latino MSM are embedded in the heterosexual Latino male population. They could be at increased risk for HIV infection and represent a difficult target for HIV prevention based on two main facts. First, they lead a secretive lifestyle, and they are less likely to be exposed to and respond to programs targeting the gay and bisexually identified men who have sex with men. So, based on this background, we identified two goals for our study. First, to gain knowledge of a little studied and poorly understood at-risk population, and to develop and test the effectiveness of a social marketing campaign to increase condom use and HIV testing and counseling, with emphasis on the use of a male health exam offered by our community clinic partner. To achieve these goals, we broke down the study into three components: a formative research phase to familiarize ourselves further with the target population and understand their needs and barriers for risk reduction, development and intervention of an implementation of the social marketing campaign, and an evaluation component to test the effectiveness of this intervention. I will go over very quickly over the formative research findings just for the sake of brevity today. And I will describe briefly the common narratives that we heard from the key informants that we interviewed as part of our formative research. First and foremost, we found out that these men self-identify as normal using their own language, and what they mean by this is heterosexual or straight. For them, it is very important to make it clear that they mostly engage or sometimes uniquely engage in an insertive role when having anal sex. And for them, same gender sex does not define sexual identity. It's the role that you adopt during sexual encounters that will define whether you are gay or bisexual or heterosexual. We found that these men, for the most part, adhere to normative masculine values that are common among Latinos, including the importance of family, work, respect, and humor and double meaning when referring to sexual or other sensitive issues. We found that there was a great deal of stigma surrounding HIV and homophobia, both internalized and perceived as part of their social environment. And finally, we observed that they relied on appearances to assess HIV and STI risk posed by their sexual partners. So with all this, we used this information to develop a social marketing campaign and follow typical strategies used in the in the social marketing field. In terms of market segmentation, we differentiated between two types of products and messages. The first type of product and messages was directed at Latino males in general, and was aimed at promoting the use of the male health exam offered by Vista Community Clinic, our community clinic partner. This exam was named or branded by our campaign as the Hombres Sanos exam or the Healthy Men exam. And these products and messages also tried to normalize condom use. The logic to target Latino men in general was that this is the way NGI Latino MSM identify themselves. So we tried to capitalize on this issue, on this factor, to try to change social norms among Latino men in general and NGI Latino MSM in particular. The second type of products and messages targeted more specifically NGI Latino MSM, and it had more explicit references on them to condom use and contextual cues related to places where NGI Latino MSM are likely to have their sexual encounters. For this particular line of products and messages, we emphasized the desire of NGI Latino MSM to keep their sexual practices secret. So we made of secrecy and secrets a big theme for those particular products. We used an organizational framework known as the 4Ps or the marketing mix to define and design the product we were trying to sell to our audience, the price or the costs involved in the adoption of the two behaviors we were trying to promote, HIV testing and condom use, to identify places where our products and activities could be best promoted, and to determine the best promotion channels that could have most impact within our budget limits. The name of the campaign, Hombres Sanos, reflected the way these men identify themselves, just as men, and it tried to overcome the stigma surrounding HIV testing and condom use by using the healthy or sanos adjective on it. Furthermore, the image of a masculine, strong, flexed arm further played the themes identified as relevant informative research. In terms of implementation, we implemented the campaign over a 9-month period starting in April 2006. We were able to recruit over 170 venues in the community, ranging from barber shops to different workplaces, shopping centers, restaurants, nightclubs, adult bookstores, everything and everyone that we could target and convince to participate in the campaign. And here you have some numbers. We were able to distribute over 6,000 brochures, more than 21,000 condoms, almost 10,000 business cards with information about the male health exam that we were promoting. And we had a web page that had almost 100 unique visitors hits. And we aired almost 250 radio ads and over 100 traffic report sponsorships. Our evaluation strategy involved a quasi-experimental ABC type of design, where A represents a baseline phase, followed by a period during which the intervention was implemented, and a follow-up period during which we continued collecting measures that the campaign activities were stopped. Basically, during each of these phases, we conducted repeated cross-sectional community surveys in venues identified informative research as relevant because either they cater to NGI Latino MSM and they represented proximal settings to same sex encounters, or because they cater to Latino men in general and therefore could be potentially effective to try to change social norms among the Latino community. So we conducted systematic time sampling within each of the 12 community venues selected, and during each sampling period we randomly selected participants from the patrons or people who were just crossing by these sampling venues. For each wave, we recruited 260 participants. This is a list of the survey locations, which involved 5 high-risk venues, basically bars and clubs and one adult bookstore, and then several low-risk venues. For the collection of the data, we used self-administered surveys via Pocket PC. Measures were anonymous. We didn't collect any names or identifying information. And data included demographic information, data on HIV testing history, knowledge of risk reduction services in the community, unprotected sexual practices during the last 2 months, and attitudes towards HIV, condoms, HIV testing, and homosexuality. Also during the campaign and post-campaign phases, we added measures on campaign exposure and reactions to the campaign. I will present some results from a preliminary analysis that we've conducted with data collected on regarding exposure, response to the campaign, and changes regarding some important study outcomes that we examined. This is the sample that we were able to recruit. It's 2,378 respondents combining all the different survey waves. The mean age was about 28 years. Over a third of them were married or cohabiting. The vast majority was born in Mexico, and over almost two-thirds were actually low acculturated immigrants who had been in the U.S. for less than 5 years. The most common occupations were agriculture, factory, services, and construction. And you see the breakdown by sexual orientation. About 85% were classified as heterosexual based on how they identified and their history of sexual practices. Almost 6% were classified as NGI Latino MSM, and about 9% were gay or bisexually identified men. The profile of the NGI subsample was pretty similar to that of the overall sample, with the exception of the percentage of foreign-born, and we have a lower percentage of respondents who were born in Mexico within the NGI subsample. And among those, the level of acculturation was also a little bit higher than that of the overall sample. In terms of exposure, when you look at the bottom row of this table, you can see that about 83% of the respondents reported having been exposed to one or more elements of our campaign. This percentage was actually a little bit higher for the NGI subsample. Not making this work, right? Okay, here. Almost 90% of the NGI subsample reported having heard or seen any of a list of possible components of our campaign, and especially printed materials and the name of the campaign itself was more likely to be reported as exposure among the NGI subsample. So in general, we were pretty satisfied with the levels of exposure that we found based on our surveys. When asked whether they had made any changes in their behavior as a result of exposure to the campaign activities, 66%, or almost 2 out of 3 of the men surveyed, answered positively to this question and reported that they had taken one or more actions in response to the exposure to the campaign. The most frequent responses were having made an appointment at Vista Community Clinic, our community clinic partner, and having used condoms. Also, interestingly, we saw that almost over 8% of the NGI subsample reported that they had been tested for HIV as a result of having been exposed to the Hombres Sanos campaign. Here you're going to see a summary of the levels of sexual risk operationalized as the average number of unprotected female partners, comparing the three phases of the study: baseline, campaign, and post-campaign. So for this analysis, we have collapsed the different survey waves completed during each of the study phases. And you can see that there is a significant decrease in the average number of unprotected female partners from baseline to the campaign and post-campaign phases. This was a significant decrease, and it was replicated for the NGI subsample as well. A similar pattern of results was observed for the average number of unprotected male partners, which also went down from the baseline to the campaign and post-campaign phases. And again, this was very similar for the overall sample and also the NGI subsample. This graphic shows the levels of perception of risk for HIV on a self-rated scale that ranged from 0, no risk, to 2, high risk for HIV. And what you see here is that the levels at baseline were significantly lower than they were at the post-campaign period for both all and NGI, the NGI subsample. Although we have to clarify that for the NGI subsample, this change didn't reach statistical significance. In this chart, we're showing the rates of HIV testing during the last 6 months. And basically what we see is that the levels of post-campaign were significantly higher than during the campaign and the baseline period. We were somewhat surprised that the actual levels during the campaign phase were lower. And we're not sure how to interpret this result, whether it takes a little bit longer for people from the time they get exposed to a campaign until the moment they take the step of getting tested, or whether this might have been confounded by other interventions going on in the community at the time. We have some speculations, but I can talk more about that during the discussion. For knowledge of HIV testing locations, which was something we were also trying to promote so people know where they can go if they decide that they want to be tested for HIV, we also observed a significant increase from the baseline to the campaign and post-campaign phases, again showing a positive response with regard to the goals of our intervention. And this is the percentage of respondents who reported that they knew about the community clinic which offered the male health exam that we were trying to promote. Again, with significantly higher levels during the campaign and post-campaign phases compared to baseline. We also, and that's not going to be shown today for purposes of brevity, but we also found significant changes and positive in the expected direction in terms of attitudes about HIV, HIV testing, and homophobia, with similar changes for both the overall sample and the NGI subsample. So we have to report some effectiveness on that front too. We didn't find any significant changes in other outcomes, such as the rates of sex under the influence of alcohol and other drugs, and the lifetime rates of STI and STI testing. Our materials and activities didn't really focus that much on those behaviors, so we consider that might actually serve as a contrast analysis that shows that some of the things that we didn't really emphasize didn't really change either. This is summary of data we obtained from Vista Community Clinic showing the number of male health exams that were completed before the campaign and during the campaign and also after the campaign stopped. As you can see, there was an incremental change in the number of appointments made for these male health exams and the actual number of encounters or visits completed by in terms of numbers, SANOS campaign. This level was actually sustained once the campaign was over. So that's also encouraging in terms of sustainability. So in conclusion, on a preliminary fashion, we think that this campaign strategy that we used was effective to reach Latino males in general and NGI MSM in particular, at least in the region where we developed this effort and in collaboration with our community clinic partner. We think that this intervention shows some signs of being effective to reduce sexual risk, increase HIV testing, and knowledge of testing resources, as well as increase the perception of risk, which can lead and trigger protective behaviors. And there is some evidence that some of these changes that were achieved during the campaign phase could sustain during the short follow-up period that we included in our study. Of course, we have some limitations that we need to acknowledge and that qualify our conclusions. First of all, We are using a quasi-experimental design, so we don't have a control group and we don't have a random assignment. So there are a number of alternative explanations we cannot rule out. For instance, there might have been community trends that we were not aware of, and this could explain some of the changes that we saw. There might have been potential contamination by repeated measurement in the community and other possible interventions going on in the community. That we try to be aware of what was going on, but there is still room for other factors playing a role. Data are mostly based on self-report, and again, there are some biases that might affect the validity of this data, although we try to use anonymous measures and incentives to increase the validity of the data collected. We have a relatively small subsample of NGI Latino MSM, and that also might limit statistical power, especially when we try to control for different covariates. And what we're showing here is an aggregate data analysis. Again, if we look at each of the survey waves, we have a large degree of sampling error, which can mask some of the effects of the campaign. So that's the rationale for the use of this strategy. But we're reminded that some of this, that this approach might also have some limitations in itself. And then ideally, we would have liked to have longer baseline and follow-up periods, and for that matter, we would have liked to have a longer intervention and one that could be even more intense. But in all, we think that social marketing represents a feasible and promising prevention tool to reach Latino men in general, and especially NGI Latino MSM, and reduce the risk for HIV infection. And obviously, replication of this study is necessary to strengthen our conclusions and test the generalizability of this intervention in other settings and for other populations. And with that, I'd like to thank my co-authors. Some of them are sitting here. Fernando Sañudo is my co-PI in the Vista Community Clinic, and then Jennifer Zellner, Celi Fernandez Cerdeño, Minji Mel Hovel, Edgar Vargas, and Ahmed Asari. And a knowledge funding from a California HIV research program at University of California.